a season, a liturgical season, or basically a season in our church called Lent. And Lent is the time that leads up to Holy Week and the season of Easter, including Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. And so we are in the middle of a sermon series talking about the nature of temptation and the challenges of sin in our life. And here's why. Because in the season of Lent, there's really two things that we focus on. We focus on the humanity and the sinful nature of humanity in our life. We confess our sins before God. We wrestle with our struggles and our personal challenges. And we find ourselves in a repentant attitude and a repentant heart for God to do a new thing in our life, to work afresh in our life. And then the second part of the reflection of Lent is on the sacrificial nature of Jesus Christ and all that he went through in order to be able to make life possible for us. And so it's a season of reflection, it's a season of caring about brokenness in our life, and it's a season of remembering the one who put it all together in Christ crucified on the cross. And so what we want to be reminded of in this season of Lent, in this sermon series called A Way Out, is that temptation is very real. And so today's sermon is about fighting temptation. We began this sermon series last week, and here's a couple of thoughts to bring us to where we are today from last week. We are all tempted in different ways. And so today, I just want you to listen through the lens of maybe your top one or two greatest temptations. That's the question for you to ask today. What is your greatest temptation? What is your greatest challenge? And these are very real things. For some of us, it might be overeating. For some of us, it might be overspending. For some of us, it might be abusing a substance, like going to the bottle or smoking things we shouldn't, or sadly enough or scarily enough, shooting things into our arm that we shouldn't be shooting, or maybe our greatest temptation is criticism or negativity or lying or lust or gossip. What might be your greatest temptation? Now, some of you in the middle of this sermon series are thinking, I am so glad that so-and-so is here to hear this message because they are really messed up, and they need to hear this. And we might have a friend or a family member as we look across the aisles that we're saying, I'm so glad that they're here because you're thinking, I don't have any temptation. I don't have any weaknesses in my life. Well, your temptation might be pride then. That might be your struggle. It might be pride because we are all tempted in some way, shape, or form. And when we think we're not tempted, when we think we don't have struggles is where we're most vulnerable, where we find ourselves in the deepest amount of trouble because, well, I don't think that I'm tempted. I don't think I have struggles. And when we do that, we open up the doorway and become very vulnerable. Here's a word of God through Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Now, Paul writes these words. He says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. So if you have a bunch of pride about this, he says, be careful, because it's the one who thinks that they don't have any struggles or temptations that might be the most vulnerable of all. And then verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. No temptation has overtaken you except for what is common to mankind. And so where we want to start today is this realization that to be tempted is to be human. And to be human is to be tempted. It's a part of humanity. It's a part of who we are. It's a struggle that all of us have. We are all vulnerable to temptation. And so if you're tempted, there's no reason to be discouraged by that. That's just a part of our normal human experience in our creation of who we are. It's also a good reminder to know that you're not above it. We're not above temptation. The promise of God here in Scripture is that we are not above temptation. By the way, I want you to know there's a first-class seating section over here. I forgot to mention this earlier. We had married people last night. We had 70 or 80 people come out last night. And David Roop was a part of the table that won this game that we had. And because of that, the church couldn't afford first-class tickets to Bermuda. We couldn't afford first-class tickets to the latest Britney Spears concert or whatever it might be. But what we could afford was first-class seats to worship service. And so God is good. God is good. And so there's some refreshments up there. I see a teapot and teacups. It's first-class all the way. So guys, I'm sorry. I guess you're second-class today back there. But you had to come to Married People last night. It was a great experience, a great opportunity. Heather Matarazzo and our family ministries are just doing a great bang-up job there. God is so good. So we are reminded this morning that to be human is to be tempted to walk up to the first class section and have the beverages that are not really for us. That might be part of the temptation this morning. But temptations are very real. Now for me, kind of where it starts, and sometimes it happens for me, is in simple and small ways. I remember the other day, it was actually back in December, that a while ago, I had quit drinking caffeinated pop. I just don't drink anything with caffeine in it anymore because of my kidney stone issues. I'd made that decision years ago. And so what happened was, is that it's actually been very easy to do that because we don't bring caffeinated pop into the house. We don't bring Mountain Dew, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola, none of those things. We do like the Hawaiian Punch and Crush and all of those things that are still good to drink but don't have the caffeine in them. Well, the problem was is back in December we had a party at our house and someone brought Mountain Dew, Pepsi, and Dr. Pepper. And those things were sitting in our refrigerator. Now, I want to tell you, 7 years ago when I changed my drinking habits, which was usually Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, and Pepsi all day long, every day, that's all I really drank. I never really drank water. To then, 7 years ago, changing my diet to strictly drinking water, I've sworn away from this stuff. Now, it's been easy because we don't bring it into the household, but there it was sitting in the refrigerator because the party was done and everybody was gone, and of course, you just can't throw that stuff away, and my teenagers will drink it. So there it is, the Dr. Pepper is sitting in the refrigerator calling my name, saying, drink me. And as I open up the doors, it's kind of like this angelic choir singing, like, oh, here's Dr. Pepper, drink me, and here it is. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I swore this stuff off 7 years ago. I'm not going to go for it, so I shut the door. I shut the doors in the refrigerator, and I walk away. But as soon as I walk away, you kind of get bored or something. You find yourself back in front of the refrigerator. We don't ever really know what we want, but we know that there's something in there that's going to solve all of our problems or cure our boredom. And so we always go to the refrigerator to kind of open the doors and stand in front of it, to which our spouse or our family member says, don't stand in front of the refrigerator with the door open. Close the door. And so I go back, and I open up the door, and guess what? The Dr. Pepper is still there. And Dr. Pepper is screaming out to my name and this sugary, sweet-tasting drink that might just remind me of how thirsty I am. And so I thought, in my mind, I'm just going to sneak a glass of that Dr. Pepper. And so I snuck a glass of the Dr. Pepper. I had some of it, and it just didn't taste. It was so sweet. I just don't ever remember it being that sweet. You ever swear off a fully loaded pop, and all of a sudden you have some, and you don't realize how sweet it was? And so I drank it, and that night I had a stomachache. It didn't work for me. It wasn't helpful. And I just regretted that moment of thinking that, man, I could have stood firm in that moment and not drank it, but I did. And it's that moment that we think that we're standing firm is when we find ourselves most vulnerable to sin, and pride kind of gets in the way. But what happens is often we feel guilty when we're tempted. We feel like, well, we're such a failure as a Christian. We feel like, we're really bombed it. We've really blown it in that moment. But to be tempted is to be human. And so we need to come to Christ. Come to Christ with our challenges and our trials and our struggles. And when you come to Christ, when you have Jesus in your life, it doesn't mean the absence of temptation. But what it does mean is that we've declared war on temptation in the name of Jesus Christ. We've declared war on sin and the challenges in our life. But temptation is very real. Even I struggle with it and deal with it from time to time, as I've illustrated with you. There's a strong pull when it comes to temptation, and we need to be aware of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, going on to verse 13, Paul continues. And this is our verse. This is our theme verse for this series. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. That's good news. That's good news for you and for me, is that you don't fight temptation alone or on your own. Christ in you is stronger than the temptation in you, and God is always going to provide a way out because God is faithful. Now, many of us find ourselves in a place where we are gripped by what has power over our ability to resist. Many of us are in a place where we are gripped by something that has power over our ability to be able to resist in that moment. So we need to learn how to resist temptation, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we learn how to resist temptation, we need to get to the point where we understand the five stages of temptation and where those things take us. The process of temptation kind of really happens in five steps. Before we do that wrong thing, it kind of builds up in five steps, and we can go through those five steps in a matter of moments. And here they are real quick. Five things. First of all, it starts with a thought. Oh man, boy, that really looks tantalizing, or that looks like fun. The second one is an imagination. We start to play out in your mind how fun that will be, or how fulfilling that will be in our life. Then the third one is justification. Well, we start to justify what we're about to do, and even though we know we shouldn't do it, oh, it's going to be good, it's going to be okay, everybody's doing it, justification. And then all of a sudden becomes the choice. Then we decide to jump in with both feet, and that leads to step number five, full-blown sin. So how does that work? Well, let's go back to my illustration. My thought was, I like Dr. Pepper. And Dr. Pepper was in the refrigerator. My imagination started to run wild. I started dreaming of the sweet nectar that might come out of that 2-liter bottle into my glass and what that might taste like, because back in the good old days, it tasted really good. So you see how quickly this goes from thought into imagination, into justification. Hey, I haven't had one in a long time. I mean, it's been 7 years or 6 months or 2 years since I've really sat down and had a glass of caffeinated Dr. Pepper pop. So it'll be okay. I mean, what's one glass going to matter, right, in the grand scheme of things? So we move into justification. Well, then all of a sudden, justification moves into a choice. Now I'm pouring myself a glass. Now, boom, it's gone. It's been drunk and somebody help me out here. English majors? My mom's she says drunk. Okay, my mom's a former English teacher, so... Thanks for being here today, Mom. Get in my back. And so it has been drunk, and so now I have committed in my life in that moment a sin because I've just sworn that stuff off. I don't need it in my life. And so that's what happens. And so maybe practically for you, I don't know what it might be. Maybe you find yourself buying another outfit, and buying another outfit for you might be a sin because you know that you have 18 at home that you haven't worn yet that still have the tags on them, and you've been talking with your spouse about spending less, and you've promised to stop buying stuff. And so how it plays out for you is your first thought is, hey, I feel alone today. I feel empty. I need something to make me feel better about myself. I want to feel good. And wouldn't it feel good to buy myself an outfit, which moves into imagination. You start imagining yourself what you might look like in that outfit when you take your picture and you post it on Instagram, on social media, and you see all the likes that you might get and how many people might like what you're wearing. And all of a sudden, imagination turns into justification. Hey, listen, I haven't bought an outfit since yesterday. And by the way, it's 50% off, so I'm actually going to save a bunch of money, even though I got to spend money to save money. That's the American way, by the way. You spend money to save money in that moment. And so all of a sudden, you've moved into justification. And in that justification, you hop on the internet and you start shopping, which is your choice. You start looking online and you see sales, and it leads you into that moment for you sin. You buy something you don't need, and you continue to experience debt and challenges and trials in your life. How about maybe the thought, hey, I'm bored. I'm going to surf the web. I'm bored. I'm going to surf the internet. And that's a thought. Imagination is, ooh, I saw something, and it kind of got me excited. And maybe the justification quickly moves in. It's no big deal because everybody looks at this kind of stuff, and so I'm going to go ahead and look at it. And it's not going to hurt anybody in the long run. And so that moves into choice, which is click, and there it is in front of us, and now you're living into full-blown sin in your life. What you need to realize about these steps is it's the first moment that is the most crucial when it comes to temptation. It is the thought that counts. Have you ever heard that statement? Well, when it comes to temptation, it's in the opposite direction. It's the thought that counts that creates the most damage. When you say it's the thought that counts, it's always a positive thing. You know, you need to think about somebody or what you're doing for somebody. It's the thought that counted. But in this case, you need to realize that it is the thought that counts the most towards that damaging choice that might hurt the heart of God, might hurt us, or might hurt somebody else. And so when we realize that it's the first moment of temptation that's most important, we have to decide ahead of time to resist, so not to fall into something that might hurt the heart of God, might harm us, or might harm other people. That's why this is so important, the five steps and stages of temptation, because we got to stop it before it starts. We got to pay attention to the thought, and if we can eliminate that thought, then we'll be able to eliminate that temptation. So how do you fight your way out of temptation? How do we fight our way out? The first way is to submit ourselves to God. Submit to God. That's the first way. In James chapter 4, verse 7, James says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now notice this. The Bible doesn't say, hey, all you need to do is to just stand strong in front of Satan. That's the first thing that you need to do, is to resist the devil. No, that's not the first thing. It says, no, you need to make sure that if you're going to fight temptation, you need to submit to God. You need to have yourself all armored up in God. You need to be submitted to God. That's the first thing that you need to do. You can't go do battle with Satan on your own. You don't have the strength or the ability. The flesh and the sinful nature in us is too weak, or in some cases too strong when it comes to temptation. We're not designed to live a victorious life alone. We need the help of Christ to battle for us. And every temptation is an invitation to depend on Christ and the fact that you need him. Every temptation is an invitation to depend on Christ and the fact that we need him. And I liken this to a procedure that every human being, adult human being, goes through every morning, and that is we choose to put on deodorant. I pray that everybody today decided to put on deodorant before they came to worship this morning. I know that I did. Why is that? Because we know that later on in the day, the stink is coming. Guaranteed. Every day. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder if this is going to be the day. Every day we know that the stink is coming. And so we put on deodorant as a preventative measure. Watch this now. We put on deodorant first. We equip ourselves. We arm ourselves with spray, roll-on, liquid gel, solids, whatever it might be, in order to protect ourselves and guide ourselves against the stink that we know is coming. Sisters and brothers, it doesn't matter if you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus, the stink is coming into your life. It wants to. It wants to erode into your life. Satan wants to come and tempt you. He wants to drag you away. He wants to take your thoughts, turn them into fantasy, turn that into justification, turn that into a choice that will lead you to sin. And so what we need to do is to preventatively understand that we need to be all armored up in God, that we need God in our life. And so that's the first step that we take physically in our life when we get ourselves ready in the morning. And so we need to make sure that we're getting ourselves ready because we don't have the strength on our own. And without deodorant, we can't battle against that odor. We need that deodorant. We're not equipped to do that on our own. And when it comes to temptation, we are not equipped to battle against it on our own as well. So the first thing we need to do is to acknowledge what we're doing is wrong and sinful. That's the place that we start, and we acknowledge and give that to God because we live in a world of justifiers. We live in a world of justifiers. Well, everybody does it. It's just the way it is nowadays. It's the way that God made me. God understands it. Oh, he gave me this desire anyways. I deserve it. Nobody's going to know my one little thing. And if we're doing anything inconsistent with God's word, we need to start by acknowledging it before God and obeying God's word and getting help from God and getting help from God's people. But submission to God is a daily decision that we make, just like putting on deodorant is a daily decision that we make. Why? Because the pull of temptation in our life is so strong and we are so easily distracted. I mean, we're so easily distracted as a people, aren't we? I mean, our minds and our hearts just can quickly go to the wrong thing in an instant. It's a daily submission to just submit ourselves to God. Because, I mean, every day it's like, hey, God, I love you. God, I want to give you glory. And, oh, look, a shiny thing. Oh, look, I could do this. Or, oh, look, there's an opportunity over there. Oh, boy, I might be able to jump into this and do that. We are so easily distracted, and it's got to be a daily decision. That's why for me, every day, the first thing I do when I get into the office here at the church is I start to read God's word. And I read it through a daily devotion like Upper Room or Daily Bread, and we have those available outside on the counter. I just open up God's word. I read his word, and I pray. And I pray a prayer of submission. Now, yeah, I go through my daily needs in my life for my family and for the church, and I pray through those things. But I kind of always start with a daily prayer. Oh, Lord God, and kind of how I led you in prayer today. Oh, Lord God, I need you in my life. Thank you for this day. Lord God, I submit my mind, my eyes, my heart, my thoughts, my actions, my words, my soul, my spirit. I submit all of those things to you. Lord God, fill me with your gracious favor. And remove this sin from me. God, thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for being in my life. And so that's the prayer of submission that I believe every single one of us needs to do. And maybe you pray that prayer while you're applying your deodorant every morning. Maybe if you can't remember to pray that prayer, you're going to never look at getting ready in the morning the same ever again. I mean, but when you realize this is that we need to put that on. We need to submit ourselves to God before we ever face any kind of temptation. But we know that the temptation is coming. We know that the stink of Satan is coming into our life every single day. So we need to submit to God because submitting to God makes it easier to resist temptation. If I don't, I am vulnerable. If I don't, I am vulnerable. And temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience. That's what temptation is. It costs us obedience because it promises something satisfying that really doesn't deliver in the long run. And so you have a choice of what to rely on. You have a choice of what to submit to. You could submit to the bottle. You could submit to what it is you're smoking that you know you shouldn't be, to purchases, to food, to pornography, whatever it might be. And all those things promise a satisfaction, but at the damage of obedience in your life. Or you can choose, I'm going to rely on God. I'm going to submit myself to God, the only one who can give me true satisfaction and lasting joy. It's your choice to submit. So that's the first thing we need to do when it comes to resisting temptation. We need to put on our spiritual deodorant. We need to realize that the stink is coming, and we're going to armor up in the submission of God in our life, and we're going to realize that we need Jesus Christ in our life to overcome these temptations. So the second piece is, then, you resist the devil, according to James. You resist the devil. Now, you often hear people say, well, I just couldn't resist. That's kind of me, like around chocolate cake or something. I just couldn't resist. I had to have the second piece. Whatever it might be, whenever we confess our sin or our struggle, it says, you know what? I just couldn't resist. Or, I couldn't resist buying that. Or I just couldn't resist taking a ride in that. Or I just couldn't resist hanging out with my friends. And it's not always necessarily a bad thing, but that's a statement in society today. I just couldn't resist. But with Christ, you can resist. That's the word that we need to hear. In Christ, we can resist. We can resist temptation. We can resist the challenges that the evil one brings our way. And when we do, the devil will flee from us. The devil will flee from us. Now, I've often heard this, and I've run into situations before where you run into a dog, a stray dog, and all of a sudden they're kind of growling at you, and they're standing right in front of you, and your first instinct is to kind of run. And I get that as a human being, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if I run, this dog is going to chase after me, grab a hold of my ankle, claw me up a tree, whatever it might be. So in those moments, when I've seen a stray dog around the house, what I do is I kind of stand firm right where I am, and I shout at that dog, like, get out of here, go, I don't need you in my life, I don't want you, out of here, in a loving way, of course, because, I mean, dogs are cute and cuddly, but not all of them are. But you stand your ground in those moments, and you say, hey, listen, you shout at them. And you roar, kind of, and you say, hey, get out of here, I'm good. And you stand your ground. You don't run in those moments when you're right in front of this moment. And this is what you do when you're attacked by the evil one. You know, you're submitted to God with godly confidence. You have Christ inside of you, and that makes you a child of God. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are God's overcomer. And when you're tempted and Satan comes at you like a roaring lion or a stray dog, you stand your ground in Jesus Christ. And you realize that Christ in you is stronger than the weakest desire in you. Look what Scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You see, Jesus is in you, and he is greater than the one who is in the world. Who's the one that's in the world? Satan. It's your spiritual enemy. And so Jesus in you is greater than any temptation that will come your way. And in the power of God, he will always give you a way out. And so we recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. We recognize that we are at war, because Christianity is not a playground. Christianity is a spiritual battleground. It's a spiritual battleground. And that's what it means. That's what it means when you find Jesus Christ, is to realize that the stink is coming. The challenges are coming in your life. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we're reminded that our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. And we oftentimes think our struggles are the physical things that are manifesting themselves in front of us, like the trials and challenges we're going through, the person at work, or the marriage that we're broken in, or whatever it might be. But honestly, it's the enemy. It's Satan who's working inside of our spirit, trying to get after us, trying to bring this stink from without to within our spirit, and to erode us from the inside out. And so what we need to realize is the Bible tells us that we fight with weapons that are not of this world, because our enemy is not of this world, and our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds with stuff that has held us hostage for years. And part of those weapons are the power of prayer. The power of prayer. The helmet of salvation, the Bible tells us. This helmet that covers over our minds, because we know that we are saved and we're good. The breastplate of righteousness, Scripture tells us. This armor that covers over our hearts and to know that we are as righteous as God. The shield of faith to squelch the fiery arrows of the enemy. The sword of the Spirit, which is God's word that we can go on the offensive with and shout at the enemy that's standing in front of us and saying, you have no room in my life. Away from me, Satan. And the Bible, God's word, the sword of the Spirit, allows us to shout at our enemy. The belt of truth buckled around our waist to keep our pants up so that we can run and get out of there and realize that God's word is the truth, and to be able to name the lies of the enemy. The shoes that we're given, the Bible tells us, for the readiness of peace, the shoes that allow us to go where we need to go, to walk into what we need to walk into and run away from what we need to run away from, that can give us peace in Jesus Christ. You are equipped in Christ when it comes your way. And so when you are armored up in God, you are equipped in Christ. You can say when temptation shows and rears its ugly head, I was expecting you. I was expecting you, but I put on my spiritual armor this morning. I put on my spiritual right guard this morning. I put on my spiritual Gillette this morning. I put on my spiritual Old Spice this morning. I put on my spiritual Secret this morning. Whatever it was, I'm ready for you. I'm armored up. I'm submitted to God. I know I can't do this on my own. I have Christ living in me, and therefore I have this whole cachet of spiritual weapons that I know that I can have in my life to battle against that temptation. I know that my God is bigger than any temptation inside of me, and you're prepared to fight back. You've submitted to God. You've submitted to his word, the power in your heart to stand your ground, and you've decided ahead of time you're not going to give in to temptation. Amen? You decided ahead of time you're not going to give in to temptation. Why? Because you got Old Spice going on and you're ready to go. You see, the best ways to resist temptation is to eliminate it when you can. The best ways to resist temptation is to eliminate it when you can. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 15, it says, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. Now, this is Solomon's word that he's writing to his son. And he wants his son to pay attention. I just picture this father-son relationship. And what's interesting is Solomon just gets repetitive here. He says, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. That's kind of repetitive. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. And so he's giving advice to his son to say, stay away from it. In case, son, you're not paying attention, let me say it a few different ways. I got it, Dad. No, I don't know if you've got it, Dad, or a son or not. I want you to listen to this thing. Get your butt out of Dodge. Run, Forrest, run. Don't even get close to it. Avoid temptation. You eliminate it when you can. Don't even do that. Don't even get near it. And I was so proud of my son recently because he had an opportunity to step into something with some of his friends that he knew he shouldn't do, and we didn't have any idea. And on his own, he sent us a text message that said, hey, Dad, I got different plans. I'm going to make different plans today. I'm not going with my friends. And all he said is, they're doing some stuff I'm not interested in. Whoa! I mean, and in that moment, you think, maybe as a parent and as a son relationship, God has got it right. Maybe, you know, because when you're a parent, oftentimes you wonder, are your kids getting it? And when you get that kind of text message, you know, from your 17, soon-to-be 18-year-old son, when they have all the choices of the world right in front of them, and you're not there to make the choice for them, but they decided that to get into that car wasn't going to be a good and right thing for them, and they text you and say, Dad, I'm going to do something different. All of a sudden, I feel like Solomon to a son where, you know, maybe the message has gotten through. Praise be to God. And we all have to get to that point in our young lives when we're that age to make a decision that isn't going to be our parents' decision, but it's a decision for us. And I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of Austin in that moment for making that choice and making that decision. Because here's what he said. He says, I'm not even going to get myself into a situation where I'm going to be tempted. I don't even want to be around it. I'm going to prevent it before it even happens. And sisters and brothers, maybe for some of you, you need to stop getting in that car of your life, whatever it might be, and not putting yourself in that situation where you're going to compromise or where you're actually putting yourself in the front of the face of the enemy, and you need to make a decision in your own power and strength of whether you're not going to do that thing or step into that or say that or do this or not. You see, why resist temptation tomorrow if you have the power to eliminate it today? And I don't know what that might be for you, but that might mean, hey, listen, don't have pay-per-view movie channels and have access to them. Don't be surfing the web and go window shopping on the web if you have a purchasing problem. You know, don't have Mountain Dew in the refrigerator if you have a caffeine problem. You know, don't go to the card game if you have a gambling problem. Why not resist temptation? Why resist temptation tomorrow if you have the power to eliminate it today? That can be a game changer for you right now. So let me just give you an illustration. So if you have a potato chip problem, and some of you are addicted to potato chips, you don't go to the Conn's Factory Tour. Because when you go to the Conn's Factory Tour, you get a chance to take away a whole canister of fresh, hot potato chips. Now listen, that's like putting the enemy right in front of you. Why do that? Don't even get in the car and go to the Conn's Factory Tour. Whatever that might be for you, I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe you have an alcohol problem. That might mean you need to pay at the pump rather than going inside the gas station where the beer and the alcohol are. You're just gonna stay near the car. You're not even gonna go into the convenience store. You're gonna pay right there at the pump. Maybe you're trying to overcome a potty mouth in your life, and so you're not going to hang out with people that cuss like a sailor all the time. Maybe you're at work, and you have a temptation to have an affair with somebody, and so you just decided that it's serious enough that you're going to switch departments. And if you can't switch departments because you love your spouse enough and you're committed to them enough and you know you're about to step into the wrong place, you might even find a whole different career. You might even find a whole different job. You may need to quit that job and find another one. This is how serious it is. You need to run. You need to run from these temptations that Satan and the enemy are trying to send your way. Get out of there. Avoid it. Don't even get in that car like my son decided he wasn't going to do. Why? Why resist any temptation that you have the power to eliminate? Think about that for a second. Why resist a temptation later that you have the power to eliminate today? Decide ahead of time to distance yourself from these things. And if you're struggling, share with somebody. Get vulnerable with somebody. Share it with them. Because sin grows best in the dark, and if you bring it to light, sin loses its power. And always take it to Jesus. The moment it becomes a thought, you're already prepared. You see, when you've taken it to Jesus, when you've given it to God, when you put your spiritual Old Spice on, you've already decided. You've already made a decision ahead of time. You're already prepared that when that thought comes to your mind, you are submitted to God, and you decide that you're not going to give in that moment because you're armored up. In Hebrews 2, verse 18, I'll leave you with this. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, and he is Jesus. Jesus is able to help those who are being tempted. And what you need to understand is, in these moments where we struggle and we have temptation, Jesus is not, well, they tripped up again. I'm not here to help them get out of this time. You know, that's it. You know, there's not condemnation that comes from Jesus. There's heartbreak that comes from Jesus. There's love that comes from Jesus. There's healing that comes from Jesus. There's grace that comes from Jesus. Praise be to God. That's the season that we're in. We recognize our fallibility as human beings, and we recognize the perfect loving nature of our Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus exists, has come into our life to help us, to come and to help us. It's not condemnation, it's love in Jesus Christ, to realize that when Jesus is in me, that Jesus wants to help me. It's Christ in me that's stronger than the wrong desire in me, and that God is faithful and always provides a way out. A couple, three action steps for you. Number one, submit yourself to God. Find a way each day to submit yourself to God when you're getting ready in the morning. Number two, shout at your temptation. Remind your temptation that you're not owned by your temptation. You're owned by Jesus Christ. And because you are his child. You're his ambassador. You're as righteous as Christ. You are an overcomer. You have all the power you need inside of yourself to just shout that to. And then number three, get out. Don't even put yourself in front of temptation. Run from it. Don't even get near it. Get out of whatever temptation or situation that you're in right now. Praise be to God. I want to invite you to a time of prayer during our Garden of Prayer. And this is an opportunity for you to kind of reflect on what it is that God's doing in your life. And so I want to invite you to this moment of quiet. And there are cards in front of you if you'd like to fill one of those requests out.